told us in his word to watch and pray, then we'll not be ashamed at his coming.
His coming,
his coming.
For some will not be prepared. Don't let him catch you unaware at his coming.
My Lord is coming.
And then at last these eyes shall see the one who died for me, paid that sin debt that I could never pay. My Lord is coming.
And when we gather there with our Lord in the air, I'll be like
sinful flesh, complete in his righteousness, I'll be like him. My Lord is coming. My Lord is coming. He's coming.
I'll give you rest, a comfort from your pain and a shelter from the storm. I'll give you rest. His tender voice is calling me to a place that flesh can't find.
My eyes can see the way to go.
He beckons me to believe and leave my worries far behind,
to trust the hand that guides his children home.
Come unto me,
all ye who are weary, tired, and worn. I'll give you rest. A comfort from your pain and a shelter from the storm. I'll give you rest. His arms are open wide to welcome whosoever will to come.
He's never turned one soul away.
Though others boast of wasting God, the truth is he's the only one who hears a sinner when he kneels to pray.
Come unto
me, all ye who are weary, tired, and worn. I'll give you rest. A comfort from your pain and a shelter from the storm. I'll give you rest.
Come unto me, all ye who are weary, tired, and worn. I'll give you rest.
A comfort from your pain and a shelter from the storm.
I'll give you rest.
Down and leave them. I will take your burdens. There's no need for you to fall beneath the load.
Give them to me, children.
No need for you to bear them. Lay them at my feet and know that I'm the Lord your God. Times I've fallen, bruised and shaken.
His arms will protect you in your needing
hour. Lay them down and leave them. I will take your burdens. There's no need for you to fall beneath the load.
Give them to me,
children. No need for you to bear them. Lay them at my feet and know that I'm the Lord your God.
Now that I am standing on a solid foundation, my feet are firmly planted on His precious word.
Though I may be faced by storms and trials, daily with Him walking, ready for His calling, wherever He leads. Lay them down and leave them. I will take your burdens. There's no need for you to fall beneath the load.
Give them to me, children.
No need for you to bear them. Lay them at my feet and know that I'm the Lord your God. Lay them at my feet. And know that I'm the Lord your God. Lay them down and leave
you for your goodness when the times are good. If I can say you're in control when all is understood, then right here in this valley that I am living in, I can give you all the glory just like I did then.
Faithful, that's what you've been to me. You've guided every step and met all of my needs.
And though my heart is broken, just know that I am grateful.
And through it all, you've been
faithful.
Good morning.
I know that every moment.
Glad everybody could be here today. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you love us. We thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. Thank you for everyone that's here today. Thank you for the ones that are still on the way. Lord, I ask that we would get something out of the services today. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 412. I'm sorry, 419.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on, stand firm everyone, rescue His holy word. Thousand soldiers rally round the banner, steady, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foes, marching on we go, while the cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner right, being in the light, rising soldiers, rally round the banner. steady, steady, pass the word along. Loud Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. O thou God of all, hear us when we call, help us one and all. When the battle's done and the victory won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Risen soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn over to 4:12. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host does flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthem praise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brother, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, when with all your voices in the triumph song, glory, love, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Sarah. All right. Today's announcements. If you don't have the bulletin, they're in the back. Today, December 28th, Brother McCurry will be here in the evening service. And then December 31st was the New Year's. We'll have a watch night service from 7 to 9:30. Saturday, January 3rd, Operation Saturation Soul Winning bus visitation at 10 a.m. January 13th to 15th, the National Church Planting Conference at HBBC. And then Sunday the 19th, Sanctity of Life. February 12th and 13th, Living United Couples Retreat. And then February 20th, Youth Rally at Temple Baptist Church. Sunday through Thursday, February 22nd to 26th, we'll have Brother Korn. And then March 15th and 18th, Bethel's 70th anniversary Sunday. And we'll be having Brother Sam Davis preaching that one. So there's a lot going on in the next couple of months, so please be aware. And Brother, all yours.
I was skipping a little. All right. Got plenty of things coming up. I hope y'all had a great Christmas. It was different at our house. Let's just put it that way. But it was good. Thank the Lord for the blessings of knowing that the Savior came the first time, and He's coming again. That's the good part. He'd come once. He promised He would. He gave all that prophecy and stuff that He was coming again, coming the first time. Well, He's told us He's coming again. So. We need to be looking at that today. We're going to be in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 again, and finishing up chapter 2. And for a little bit of reminder, review, do you remember the two witnesses that were there in the temple at the birth of when the Lord was brought in to on His eighth day and circumcision, and Jesus was presented? And they, you know, there were two people in the temple. Do you remember who they were? Yeah, Brother Vance. Simeon and Anna. And I told you last week that Simeon and Anna kind of represented some. And Simeon was of Jerusalem, the south kingdom, and Anna was of the tribe of Asher, the north kingdom. So at that time, they were kind of uniting those kingdoms that had been divided for so long together, and they were both witnessing that this was the Messiah, that Jesus was the Messiah. And before we get into our lesson today, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we do serve a great God that loves us and cares for us. Lord, we can see, Lord, in the birth of Christ, how You were loving and caring for Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus as He was born. And Father, we know that You care for us today. So, Lord, I ask that You would open our hearts this morning to hear Your word. And Lord, I pray that You'd open our ears to be able to hear it. Father, I ask that You would just be with us in a special way here this morning, that we might be able to honor and glorify You. We're so thankful that we serve a risen Savior. Lord, You're not still a babe in Bethlehem, but You're our Savior that walks with us each and every day. Thank You, Lord, for Your word that gives us strength. And Lord, we just pray that the things we learn today might be able to honor and glorify You, for we ask it in Thy Son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. And all these things took place as Simeon was there, and we talked about him last week. He made some proclamations to Mary and told her here in verse 34, it says, Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is sent for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then said, ye, speaking to her, ye, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts may of many hearts may be revealed. And so he was telling her she was going to go through some things. We learned last week, we talked about last week, that Mary took these things and pondered them in her heart, that she went over these things and rehearsed these things many times. And then Anna comes in, and she's an aged woman, and we said that counting up all the time, she was, it says in verse 37, she was a widow about 84 years. So that's 84 years she was a widow. That means that before that, she had got old enough to have be married and all these things. And so she may be in close, well into her maybe 100 years of age at this time. But she came, it says in verse 38, and she coming in the instance gave thanks and likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for the Redeemer of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem. So she was going out and proclaiming that this was the Messiah. She's seen him, and she was there. And then today's lesson, we're going to start in verse 39 here, and it says, when it had and when they had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, I mean, they went through the circumcision, they went through all the things that was necessary there in the temple and everything. It says they returned unto Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So Jesus, here was a baby, a young child now, and he is going, and they're taking him back home to Nazareth there. And it says there that he was strong in spirit and in mind and intelligence, understanding those things he began to learn and as a child. Jesus had a human, and Jesus had a human soul, and that soul was subject to all the proper laws of the human spirit. So we sometimes forget that Jesus was a human. He had things that he went through, and but yet he was still God. And therefore, he increased in knowledge and strength and character. He learned all those things. And of course, being God, he kind of perfected them. So we're going to see a few more verses here. And he was filled with wisdom. And this, the author here, Luke, he's a doctor, and he sees the development of the Lord. And a lot of other places in the Gospels, like I say, one of my favorite Christmas portions of Scripture is found in John, where John plainly says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the simplest simplest story of the birth of Christ. Here John, he goes into detail, or not John, but Luke, he goes into details about the child. Just like each and every one of us, he was growing up. He had things he went through, and I think that's what it's telling us here in these verses here. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I'm glad that God gives grace. Now we talk about grace of God being upon the Lord. Grace is unmerited favor toward us, not to him. It was favor with God. He says what Jesus did as a child, it was in favor with God. He was doing those things which were right in the eyes of God. And that's very important. Now, next part of the chapter here starts here a little bit later. It's probably, we find out it's 12 years has gone by. He's grown up. He's getting a little bit older. And it's important here to realize he was 12 years of age because there were some things in the Old Testament that tells us that at the age of 12, he was becoming a young man in those days. And it says, let's read in verse 41. It says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So it's Passover time. And it says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. And so here we see these 12 days. There was a lot of things that went on at age 12. Actually, this is a six-day feast here that they were at. And then on the second day of the feast, the Passover lamb was offered. And then there was other days during the feast was there. Let me see if I can turn. I think it's Exodus chapter 23. Go back to the Old Testament, and we see a little bit about this particular feast. I should have marked it in my Bible. I know Exodus is in the front of my book. So I found 20, 22, here we come, 23. And let's look at verse 14 through 17. It says, three times. Now, this is talking about the child Jesus being 12. It says, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of the unleavened bread. And actually, after the Passover, they went into the unleavened bread. So the days that they were there also accomplished this in 7 days as I command thee, and in the time appointed of the month Abib, for in it thou comest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty, and the feast of the harvest and the first fruits of thy labors, and thou shalt sow the fields and feast in the ingathering, which is in the end of the year. When thou hast gathered in the labors of the field, three times in the year, all male shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with unleavened bread. Neither shalt thou shall the fat be sacrificed. Remain until the morning. So, I should have stopped at verse 17. But anyway, three times a year, being at the age of 12, now he had to go three times a year. And that was, I believe, to learn the things of the temple and the things that they needed to know about the Word of God and these things. And we find out here in this particular portion of Scripture, it says that he was 12 years old after the custom of the feast. And so he was there. Probably this year was a little bit different from the other years that he was there because he was still a young child. At the age of 12, he had to start learning some of these things and taking some responsibilities in different areas of the worship. And so we see here, now I look in this story, it's kind of a unique story in that here we have Mary and Joseph. they were there and they had fulfilled the days of the Passover. As they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and Mary knew it not. Now, I believe that they had faith in Jesus. I mean, he was a 12-year-old child at this time, and in those days, he was growing up. And so, like we do a lot of time with our kids, we may not know where they're at, but they know their responsibilities, and you hope that they do the right things. And so, I don't think there was a time set. That doesn't tell us, and Luke doesn't mention this, but they weren't in the time set. Okay, everybody's got to be in the car at this time. It wasn't that way. There were many people that traveled together in a huge group. Family members and different things, and they had gone to Jerusalem, and Jesus was among them, and there was, I'm sure, boys his age and different things, and they were doing the things that boys their age do and different things like that, and Mary and Joseph, they knew that Jesus would do right, because he always had done right. He was a good young man as he grew up. In his years there, the Bible tells us in the verse 40 that he grew in the Spirit. So he grew in wisdom. They believed him to be a wise child and take more or less able to take care of himself. You know, there's times after kids grow up at a certain age, you kind of let them do a little bit more. They were releasing him a little bit more for his responsibilities, that he might grow up. As parents, you've gone through it. I had 5 kids. I know that sometimes I didn't know where all of them were at one time, especially when I was at work. I didn't know. But anyway, I didn't know where they were. And a lot of times when we brought them in together, there were certain times they had to, when they got a little older, especially as teenagers, they had to be there at certain times. If you're going to eat, you better be here at this time. 6 o'clock in the evening, we ate. And if you weren't there, you didn't get to eat. That was it. You know, the kitchen was closed, you know, and different things like that. And I'm sure that Mary and Joseph had rules, and they allowed Jesus to do. He had freedom to do some things. But it's interesting here. And verse 40 says, but they supposed him to have been with the company when went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintances. Okay, they went the day's journey. It was evening time. Everybody's getting ready for bed, gathering everybody up, and all of a sudden realized he wasn't there. And they had been on a day's journey. They asked all the kinsmen and their relatives and gone by, and you know, I could see if it was in today's time, they would be calling on the phone. Hey, is Jesus over there? Is you ask about your kids. Are they over there? Last time I seen them, they were going this way or whatever. And they got with their acquaintances. Acquaintances and kinfolk. And it says in verse 25 or 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem to seek him. And you know, it's a terrible thing. And this is a good portion of scripture. I know preachers have used it. I've seen sermons on it. When you get away from the Lord, you need to seek him. There's sometimes in our lives, in our Christian lives, that we kind of get away from the Lord. We forget what we need to where we're at or things like that, and we need to get back to the Lord. And we know how to get back. I mean, if you've been a Christian long enough, you know how to get back to the Lord. We need to start praying again. We need to start reading our Bible and finding out where we were. A lot of times we have to go back to a particular place. And so this is what they were. They were seeking him. They knew they had to find Jesus. Where was he at? And they were concerned. I'm sure there was a great concern in their hearts. They just didn't go on home without him. They had gone from Nazareth to Jerusalem at that time was 70 miles. And you know, and it was they didn't go that by car. I mean, it was walking or on donkeys or something. But it was a caravan going 70 miles. That's a pretty long way. So, and they had already gone a day's journey. They went a day's journey, and then they probably stopped maybe at that 45-mile mark, and the next day we're going to go on into Nazareth. I don't know if they were able to get that far. I don't know how far they got, but they were a day's journey out. And so that meant that it's going to take them a day to get back to Jerusalem. And so there was another day that they didn't know about Jesus, where he was. And it says in verse 46, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple." So it was a day back, then they were a day looking for him, and on that next day they found him in the temple. And so, one author I read about said it was a day's journey that they'd made, so that was one day, and then the next day back, that's 2 days, and then the next day they found him. So they were seeking him, and it came to pass that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Now, Luke doesn't go into all the details on this, but I would have loved to know what was going on. Here is a 12-year-old boy with the doctors. These guys had been in the synagogues and in their in their religion for a long time. They had knew, and they knew a lot of things. They studied a lot of the scripture. They were the doctors, ones that had studied the scriptures and all these things. And it was like being with a bunch of old pastors and everything that had preached for many years, to be sitting with Dr. Hiles or John R. Rice and all these guys and sitting with them, but with people that had a lot of knowledge. Brother Davidson, he's going to be here for our anniversary Sunday. He's got a lot of knowledge. I just enjoy hearing him preach because it looks like he can take any place and he can go with it. And so, he was with these people, and I like to think about them of being knowledgeable in the Word of God. They understood the Old Testament. They understood these things. And then it says he was asking them questions. I wonder what he was asking them. I think majority of the questions he was asking was about the Messiah. I think he really wondered, what do these doctors here know about the Messiah that's coming? I believe he had a lot of questions for them to find out where they were in their thinking of the Messiah, because he was sitting right with them, and they didn't know it. And I just can't imagine what that would have been like. There was Jesus, the 12-year-old boy. He's asking them questions and hearing what they say and asking them questions. And verse 47 says that all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. I can imagine they were asking him. I mean, he might have asked him about the Messiah, and they might have replied. And he said, "Well, what about this? What about that?" All different questions about his coming. And when he answered them, they were astonished with his answers. This is a 12-year-old boy. We'll go over here in the sixth grade class, or in the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade class over here, and pull out one of these boys and see if they can astonish us. I doubt it, the Lord, well, here he was among the doctors, and his answers and things were astonishing to him. And so it's really something to think about sometimes. Okay, in verse 48 says, "And when they saw him, they were amazed." This talk about Mary and Joseph. "And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" And why'd you deal with us this way? Why have you done this? I'm assuming she was thinking, well, why didn't you tell us where you were going? I don't believe that in all the 3 days that he was there, he had left anywhere but the temple. He was right there in the temple, asking people, talking to people, doing different things, and they're trying to understand what they really knew and what they didn't know. And because when he gets in his ministry, he's going to run into doctors again, and these guys, and he's going to have questions for them, like, who is John the Baptist? That was always a good one he liked to ask, because they said, well, if we say that he was from God, well, then the people won't understand that he was from God. Then Jesus said, why didn't you follow him? And then, but if they answered, no, he wasn't of God, then the people would be mad at him. So the doctors, they'll come in a little bit later in the book of Luke and in Matthew and Mark, and several of them talk about them coming back and asking him questions. And so I believe maybe some of them sat right here with him on this day. I don't know, but he's going to astonish them even more. And so his mother asked him, why have you done this? Why have you done this? I don't know. The Lord really, what he tells them here in the next few verses, I don't know if that sufficed them. Matter of fact, we'll look and see what it says. Let's go ahead and read on it. And it says, why have you done this? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said, they were frantic. They did not know where he was. And here they've been given the responsibility of the Messiah being with them. And of course, they didn't understand all those things. It was just their son. It was just her son who was not there. And Joseph was responsible here, and they're looking for him. And then in verse 49, Jesus gives an answer. And he says unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist not that I must be about my father's business? He said, didn't you know I have to be about my father's business? And it says in verse 50, and they understood not, saying which he had said unto them. They didn't understand that. You know, they're looking at Jesus. He had been with his father, and Joseph had brought him up, and Joseph's business was carpentry. And I believe that Jesus was a carpenter, because that's what they did in those days. They followed after the father's workmanship or a craft, because they had to have jobs and they had to work and different things like that. And it was important that they have a labor to do. And so, but when he's talking here, he says, how is it that ye sought me? Wist not that I must be about my father's business? And his father's business, his father he was talking about was God. And that in the temple was exactly where he should have been. He was talking to these men, these doctors, and helping, trying to show them and have them understand that the Messiah was coming. The Messiah had come. And all the things that they'd even been, now these guys, they're right here in Jerusalem. They had Simeon that they had heard, and Simeon said the Messiah has come. They heard Anna, and Anna proclaimed that the Messiah has come, and they know they're outside of Jerusalem. At Bethlehem, the shepherds have seen the angels, and all these things have come to pass. And this is just a few years later, 12 years after the birth of Christ, and he said, didn't you know I must be about my father's business? You know, I believe that we can learn a lot from the Lord here, that we need to be about the Father's business. A lot of times we have a lot of business, a lot of things we take care of. Of course, we have to take care of the things and needs that we have in our families and those things. But we need to be about and seeking the Father's business, what He wants us to do, what God wants us to do. And the Bible says here that Joseph and Mary, and I imagine all the doctors who were sitting there didn't understand what he was talking about, But he said, I must be about my Father's business. I believe that's exactly what all of us need to do, is be about the Father's business. And it says in verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. She knew that there was something different about Jesus. She knew that he was, that she conceived of the Holy Spirit, that he was a special son, and that he was the Savior. And the Bible tells us here in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. I believe that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Another thing here that she can push proof back in her heart that this is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, and he's God the Son. And so, but the one thing we need to understand, Jesus was obedient. He was submissive. This was Mary and Joseph, his human parents. That's why the Bible tells us the children obey your parents, because Jesus was the example. He obeyed. He did what he did. He knew that there was other things he wanted to do, other things were going to happen, but he obeyed his parents. And I think sometimes, at least when I was teaching fourth and fifth and sixth grade boys, I always told them it's important to obey. That's the most important thing you can learn in this life, especially as a child, as you're growing up. I remember when I enlisted in the Marine Corps, I had a lot of guys in my platoon that had never learned to obey. They wanted to do their own thing. And I remember coming in, and exactly the situation was, but I remember the drill instructor told the guy to do something. He said, I'll do that later, or something like that. Wrong thing. I mean, he picked up a footlocker and threw it at the kid. I guarantee everybody was moving because he was going after him, hard. You learn to obey. It's very important, a very important part of life. But we see here that Jesus himself, the Messiah, the King of Kings, God himself here on earth, he's willing to humble himself and be obedient to Joseph and Mary. I believe that when Joseph was working with Jesus in the carpentry business, and Joseph said, I need the hammer or whatever, Jesus gave him the hammer. He obeyed. He immediately did what he was told to do. When his mother asked him to do something, he obeyed, because he, and not only because he's the Son of God, because it was the right thing to do, doing right. And so he was obedient, the Bible tells us here, and Jesus increased. Because of that, because of his obedience, he increased in wisdom and stature. He was no longer a 12-year-old boy, but he grew up to be a man. He grew up to be a man. And I believe he was a strong man. He went into the temple with a whip and tore everything up in there and ran those people that were selling there. He was a man, and so he was able to. He learned to obey, and he grew in stature. And then part of that verse says, "In favor with God and man." He wasn't just in favor with men. You know, we try to be in favor with one another. No use to arguing all these things and the stuff. We try to be in favor. But he was also in favor with God. That means he was doing exactly what his Father wanted him to do. And I believe that the Lord showed him that favor by showing him his grace, his approval upon him. Now, in the next lesson here is going to start, and we're just about a few minutes before we're going to be dismissed. But here in the next chapter, we start an inner, his ministry is going to start. Years after being 12 years old, about 30 years of age, he's going to start his ministry. He's going to start his public ministry. So for 15, 18 more years, there with Mary and Joseph, Joseph sometime in this time, nowhere in the scripture it says, but Joseph somewhere in this time dies. He's no longer on the scene. He's going to start his earthly ministry. And the interesting thing, when we're reading through the book of Luke, Luke gives us more information and details about some things. Excuse me. Gives us detail. And what we find out, he starts out here in Luke chapter 3 saying, "Now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judah, and Herod the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturnia, and of the region of Tetronicus, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene." And you know, when he starts out here, he's giving you all these details on these men that are in the government part. It's not, these are not, and then he'll end up in verse 2, tell you that Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests in that day. But anyway, he starts out with the Roman government. And you know, in Rome, they perfected a thing, divide and conquer. That was one of their big deals. That's how they got most of the land and proper things they did. They like to divide people up and conquer. That word tetrarch means that they had a quarter of the country. They only had a little part of it. They divided it in four quarters because they didn't want to just deal with one man in that area. They wanted four people to be there, and they were going to divide them. They were divided that way. So anyway, it's interesting that Luke starts out that way. Here he's got the country there, the country, the government, and how it's set up. I think Luke is very detailed in the book of Luke, and you find out little things. We'll be looking more on this next week, because Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priest, is interesting too, because they're going to come in view back in the time when Jesus is going to be crucified. So anyway, let's bow our heads and we'll stop right here this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we're thankful for this day. We ask, Lord, that you be with us with our lesson this morning. I pray that we've learned something from the life of Christ. Lord, that he was willing to obey his parents and do what he needed to do, but yet, Lord, he was putting you first in everything he did. Father, I ask that you would just give us guidance and direction this morning. Be with the pastor as he comes and preaches the message. I pray, Lord, that you'd hide him behind the cross. Lord, I pray that you would be with him, that as your words go out from his mouth, Lord, that our ears would be open to hear them. Lord, that our hearts might be open to receive it. Father, I pray that you just have your will and way now in each one of our lives. Be with everybody that's in the auditorium this morning that hears your word. We ask it in thy son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.
Stronger.